Okay, so as I said, welcome back everyone for the second in our series. And tonight we're going to be discussing the organ donation dilemma. So obviously this is not a new issue, although it has definitely become more pertinent here in England now. The NHS have launched their, there's a register of organ donors, and the new rule is, the new law is that it's deemed that we give consent unless we opt out. So we will be getting to that as well later on. But the purpose of tonight's share is really to examine all the different issues and to find out the different opinions on them. And then following that, we will hopefully use what we've learnt to get to the actual practical ins and outs of what we can and can't do, or should and shouldn't do. So there are a number of different issues, three main issues that we have to discuss when talking about organ donation. Obviously, by the way, we're going to see later on, organ donation is not limited to one's primary organs, you know, things like you can donate kidneys and hearts and things like that. But they're also going to be, we'll discuss later on, donating things like eyes as well. There's lots of different organs, and they'll be different depending on which organs are going to be donated. But there are three general issues that we're going to have to deal with. The first one is called nivul hames. Nivul hames means disgracing a corpse. And this is mentioned in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. Daf Kuf Nun Dalet Mod Aleph. And it was actually, Rabbi Yochanan asks, the sugya is discussing a different topic, but they ask in the middle of another sugya about the following maisa. Maisa b'ibn Ebrak b'echad shemocha b'nechsei oviv. There was someone who sold his father's possessions. Umeis, and then he died. And they said that he was only a minor, the rest of the family said he was only a minor at the time of the death. And therefore, the property that he had sold before he died, they claimed, was not a good sale. Ubo v'sholes Rabbi Akiva ma'ula bodko. So they came and asked Rabbi Akiva whether they were allowed to check, meaning were they allowed to open up his grave and to check him and to determine how old he was when he died, and then they could see if the sale was valid or not. Amar lahem, and he said to them, I atem rishayim lenavloi. You're not allowed to disgrace him. You're not allowed to disgrace him. So therefore we see that the Gemara says, at least in that case, the Gemara says clearly that there's an issur, a prohibition of nivul hames. The Gemara gives another answer there as well. But furthermore, even if you now, what the signs that you see will not be able to determine what exactly happened at the time of Misa, the time of death, whether he was a minor or not, even if now the signs that you see seem to be that he is a minor. But the first answer to the Gemara is that it's also Eitem Rasham Rashaim Lanavloi. There's an Issa prohibition of Nivul Hames, in this case, even just opening up a kever, opening up a grave. The Noda Yehuda discusses this in a tshuva, which we'll come to later on, and he says there could be one of two sources for it. He says it's an Issa de Araisa, a Torah prohibition, and it could be from the following pasuk: Lo Solin Nivloso Al Ha'et. A person who was killed by a Beis Din, who was hanged by a Beis Din, we're not allowed to leave his corpse overnight after he was hanged. Ki kovatik b'runa b'yoma, you should surely bury him on the same day. Ki kililas elukim tolui. For it's like a curse to God. Man is made in the image of God, and therefore to leave a person's corpse hanging overnight is a curse to God. And you shall not impurify, defile the land which Hashem has given you as a nachala. And according to the Noda Yehuda, the Isser of lo solin nivloso al ha'et, of not leaving the corpse hanging overnight, is a source, a Torah source, for this prohibition of nivul hames, of disgracing a person's body. Alternatively, he brings a source from the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin asks that when somebody kills someone else and we want to put them to death, there's a capital punishment. The Gemara says, how do we know the person was not a trefer? Meaning, how do we know that they didn't have some sort of internal wound and they were going to die anyway? How do we know that it was because this person actually killed them? The Gemara says that we rely on a rove, we rely on the majority, which means the majority of people walking around who seem to be healthy are not trafers, they're not people who are going to die anyway, and therefore we rely on that. The Gemara does not suggest to do an autopsy. The Gemara doesn't suggest to cut open the body and to investigate it, and so therefore from there as well, the Noda Yehuda sees that this would be a Torah prohibition, this would be an Issa de Oraisa of nivul hames, of the body being defiled. So that's one issue that we're going to have to deal with. The second issue is an issa of hana'a from a meis d'oraisa, an issa, a prohibition of getting any sort of benefit from a corpse. This comes up in a number of different places in Shas, number of different places in the Gemara, and therefore of here, if somebody is going to donate their organs, then of course there's going to be benefit from those organs, and here you run into the prohibition of having any benefit from a meis, from a corpse. The third issue is there's a chiyuv kavura, there's an obligation to bury a person. Now this again is learned from the pasuk that we brought before. Interestingly enough, talking about those people that were killed by Beis Din, they had, in this case they were hanged. Lo solin nivlaso al ha'itz ki kovatik bereinu b'yomahu. The pasuk seems to repeat itself. Don't leave the corpse hanging. Ki kovatik bereinu b'yomahu, you shall surely bury him on that day. The Gemara learns from there that it's teaching us not just somebody who was killed by Beis Din, but anyone after they have died, there's a chiyuv kavura, there's a mitzvah to bury the person. This is paskin in the Rambam, amongst other poskim, as a mitzvah d'oraisa. Mitzvah asay, this is the Rambam Hilchas Sanhedrin, Perek, Tesvav halachaches. Mitzvah asay, likbar is kol haruge, Beis Din b'yom ha'ariga. It's a positive mitzvah to bury all of those people who were killed, anyone who was killed by Beis Din on the day that they were executed. Shenemas, it says, ki kovatik b'reinu b'yomahu, you shall surely bury him on that day. V'lo haruge Beis Din bilvad, and not only those who were killed by a Beis Din, ela kol ha'melin es meisoi, anyone who leaves a mace overnight, a corpse, and doesn't bury him, over olav below sa'asei, transgresses a prohibition. Helinu lichvoda, the Rambam ends off, if someone didn't bury him for the covered of the mace, lahavi lo arim v'tachrichin, such as to bring a coffin and shrouds, burial shrouds, eino over olav, in that case he does not transgress the prohibition. This, by the way, is the source why we bury people so quickly. In Judaism, the mitzvah is to bury as soon as possible. And as the Rambam says, the only exception to that rule is if it is for the covered, the honor of the mace. So for example, if there are very close relatives that would like to come to the levaya, that would like to come to the funeral, then that's considered to be covered a mace. That would be a covered for the corpse, for the dead person, and therefore that would be a reason to push it off under only sort of for a reasonable amount of time. But apart from that, there's a mitzvah to bury a mace as soon as possible. In Yerushalayim, they're even more particular about this. It's discussed in the poskim as well. And they'll bury even in the night time. I've been to a levaya in the dead of night on Har Menuchas. It's pretty scary stuff. But in Yerushalayim, they'll do anything to make sure that the body is not left overnight, even one night there in Yerushalayim, whereas here you're not allowed to bury in the night, it's illegal to bury in the night for a start, and therefore they'll wait, but they'll do it the next day for sure, rather than leave it any longer than is absolutely necessary. So those are the three different issues: an issue of nivul hames, of disgracing a dead a body, a corpse, of having hana, of having benefit from a mace, and an issue of chiyuv kavura, of the obligation to bury the person. Now, although the Torah is speaking about the entire corpse, it's speaking about burying the entire body, there is a machlokas whether this obligation applies even to a part of the mace. So, for example, the Mishnah Melech, one of the commentaries on the Rambam, says it applies to the majority. The Tosfos Yom Tov, one of the commentaries on the Mishnah, says it applies to the amount which is larger than a kazayas. And the Noda B'Yehuda, again, there's Chuvas of the Noda B'Yehuda written about 250 years ago or so. He says it's even less than the Kazayas. Any amount needs to be buried. This is the generally accepted practice nowadays. If anyone's ever seen the pictures of the Zaka volunteers, after Lo Aleinu, there's a pigua, there's a bomb, a terrorist attack in Israel, they make sure that every single part of human remains are buried for this reason, because there's a Chiyuv Kavura even on the smallest amount of a mace. Okay, what about autopsies for research purposes? Let's start with that. Is there any heter at all to do an autopsy for research? So the Noda B'Yehuda was asked this. Again, this was about 250 years ago or so. And it's a Noda B'Yehuda Tinyon, the second volume, 210, Reish Yud, Simon Reish Yud. And he was actually asked this by a Rav from London, Rav Leib Fischels. I don't know if anyone is familiar with London Rabbonim. I couldn't find any other information about him, but he was asked this question from London, and this Rav wrote to the Noda B'Yehuda, who lived in Prague. He was the Rav of Prague, and he wrote to him and he said to him that there is a machlokas going on here about whether it is permitted to do an autopsy for research purposes. So one Rav in London, this is, said it's permitted, said it's mutter, and he brought a raya from the Chanita in the Torah we see from Yosef and Yaakov. The Egyptians, after Yosef and Yaakov die, then they embalm them. They embalm them, which is basically a process where the corpse is dried out. The Egyptians used to do this a lot because the corpse is very much a part of their society, of the way they used to keep these corpses for a long time. So they embalmed Yaakov and Yosef. Nobody sort of raises an objection. It's written about it in the Torah. So therefore he said, you see from here that nivul hames, that something which is disgracing a dead body, is permitted when there's a need for it. So he said that research is also a need, there's a necessity. The other Rav said that it was also, and he brought as a proof the Gemara in Bava Basra that we brought earlier on. Even though there's a need over there to open up the grave to check if he was a minor or not, but nevertheless the Gemara says it's asa, iatem rasham lenavli, you're not allowed, nivla mace is not allowed, and therefore he brought a raya. The other side, they brought a raya that it was asa, that it was forbidden. The Noda Biyuda answers that both of you are wrong. He says that firstly you can't bring a proof from the embalming that it's written about in the Torah, because there it's being done for the mace. It's not being done for us. It wasn't being done for human beings. It wasn't being done for our purpose. There it was being done to make sure that the body didn't go bad, didn't decay, etc., etc. So therefore, that was permitted because it was for the good of the dead body itself, of the corpse itself. And he says that the Gemara in Bava Basra, you also can't bring a proof. He said because you, that is, in the questioner was claiming that in this case there is Hatzolus Nefoshus, that it's going to save lives. So the Gemara in Bava Basra was talking about a monetary dispute. It was talking about a case in which they wanted to find out whether the sale was valid, and the only way to do that was to open up the grave and to find out if the person was a minor or not at the time when he died, when he made the sale as well, if he was a minor. But there, in that case, you're not allowed to be menavel him. However, says the Noda Biyuda, if you claim that there is Hatzolus Nefoshes over here, if you claim that there's real, you're going to be able to save lives with this, then according to you, according to the questioner, he said, then that would seem to be allowed. That would seem to be mutter, permitted. Now, the Noda Biyuda then goes on to say, he says, however, I disagree with your assumption. I disagree with your assumption, because the questioner had assumed that there is Hatzolus Nefoshes. And he says, if you know that you're actually going to save a person's life, if you're going to save a person's life, then that would be called pikuach nefesh. And therefore, all of the different issurim which are involved, all the prohibitions that we've said, just like other prohibitions such as Shabbos, for example, you break Shabbos in order to save a life. So therefore, all of these prohibitions as well, we would push aside if you knew you were going to save a person's life. However, he says something which is very important in this sugya, a rule in this topic. He says, Omnom kol zeh, b'yesh sofek sakonos nefoshes lefoneinu. This is only when there is some sort of danger to one's life in front of us. Kagon chole, like a person who's unwell, ona filas gag, the Gemara in Yuma speaks about someone who has a mound has fallen upon him. Avo benidon didon, but in our case, this was the case of the autopsy for research, ein kan shum chole hatzorech lozeh. There is no ill person right now, today, in front of us who needs this. But the people want to learn this chokhmah, this wisdom. And maybe there'll be a chole, there'll be someone who's ill, who will later, eventually, at some point, then they'll be able to use this to save his life. He says, because of this, concern that in the future there might be somebody whose life will be saved by this research, we definitely do not push aside a Torah prohibition and not even an Issur Derabbanon as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Igros Moshe, also has a tshuva about this, where he says that Pikuach Nefesh would permit, if you know you're going to save that person's life, that would permit all of the regular general Issurim which are involved, but not in order for somebody to learn. Similar to the Noda Biyuda, this is also the Chazon Ish as well. The Binyan Tzion, who was written, that which was Tshuvas, which was written by the Oruch Laner as well, says he's actually stricter, and he says even if it is Pikuach Nefesh, even if it is going to save someone else's life, but nevertheless, who says that you can use someone else's body to save someone's life? that he compares to being matzil somebody with someone else's money, to saving another person's life by taking money, taking the possessions of someone else in order to save their life. And he says, therefore, here as well, the body, the person, you know, hasn't chosen to do it himself, the corpse is dead, hasn't chosen to do it himself. And therefore, he says that you're not allowed to do that to save someone else's life at using someone else's money, and therefore also not using someone else's body, he says. He, however, that is a Das Yochin, and he's the only one who holds that opinion. The generally accepted opinion in the poskim is that if you know there's actually it's actually going to save someone's life, then in that case you would be able to donate the organs even despite the prohibitions that are usually would be involved. However, if it's just for research purposes, there's no actual chola around, there's no one ill around at the moment, then that wouldn't be good enough at all. That would definitely not be called pikuach nefesh. Just as an aside, there's an interesting question about whether you can watch an autopsy being done. Can you watch an autopsy being done if it's being done in a way that it is forbidden? So let's say either it's being done by for teaching purposes, or it's being done even though it wasn't supposed to have been done, the authorities are never doing it, but nevertheless your person can learn something from it. Is a person allowed to do that, or is that considered to be benefiting? And as we said, you're not allowed to benefit from the mace, you're not allowed to have hanah, benefit from the mace. The Maharam Shik says it's also one of the Tshuva Sforim, the Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, he says it's also to watch. However, the Harasvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rav of Yerushalayim in the early 1900s, he says it's permitted, it's mutter, because generally speaking, there is no forbidden benefit when it's just vision. Kol mara v'reach, the Gemara speaks about that there is no isser of hana. So here as well, where it's just mara, where all we're doing is watching, therefore he says that would not be, there would be no prohibition of benefit, there's no tangible benefit there. As an aside, in terms of nivul hameis, there is an interesting machlokus which comes up. Again, this Nodi Bihuda actually brings this. And he says, he learns it from the end of that sugi in the Gemara in Bava Basra, that it says that in some cases it would be permitted for nivul hameis. And the Nodi Bihuda learns that it would be permitted by people besides for family. Besides for family, there's a special issa with family. They would not be allowed to open a kever, to open a grave. But nevertheless, others would be permitted to open a grave in a case of a tzorech. Other people, other poskim like the Binyan Tzion, forbid this, even for other family members. And remember here, we're not talking about, we're talking about opening a grave where only there's a prohibition of nivul hameis, but there is no hanah, no benefit from the mace, and there's also no there's no part of the body which is not going to be buried. So there was a case in Yerushalayim, the Gesher HaChayim brings, where a person saw that his wallet was missing. He went to a levaya, and then he saw that his wallet was missing. So he asked if he was allowed to open the grave, if they could open the grave and take a look, because that was where he thought he'd dropped his wallet. Can you imagine? I don't know how much money was in the wallet, but I guess there was enough of a loss for him to ask the Shaila. And Reb Shmuel Salant, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim at the time, allowed them to open the grave. He allowed them to open the grave in order to find the person's wallet. Other poskim at the time disagreed. The Gesher HaChayim brings it down. But presumably the source for Reb Shmuel Salant's ruling was, based on this Nodi Bihuda, that for other people, a nivul hameis, even though normally you wouldn't open a grave, if there's a great necessity and it's not a family member, then it would be permitted. Another case, actually, the Maharil Diskin brought was a case where they once buried a person, but nobody had identified him. Nobody had identified him. So in that case, again, he ruled like the Nodi Bihuda, in order that he could be identified and his wife would not be an aguna, they could confirm that the husband was, you know, the identity of that the husband had died. Therefore, he permitted them to open the grave, because the Nodi Bihuda says that for other people to do that, where it's nivul hameis, the prohibition of nivul hameis, and not the other d'oraisa prohibitions involved, would be permitted for someone else besides for a family member. The truth is, in that case anyway, it would be kovod hameis to open the kever in that case to free his wife, so therefore that could be permitted for a different reason. But either way, what comes out is, with regards to autopsies, that according to all of the poskim, there is a prohibition, an issur of nivul hameis, and it's not being there's no heter of pikuach nefesh unless there is a chola unless there is a person who actually needs it in front of us, for which, in the same way a person would break Shabbos, similarly, a person would be permitted to donate the organs and do whatever else needs to be done. But if it's just for research purposes, and the same thing applies for criminal purposes as well. Although nowadays in England, it's common practice that they will ask for an autopsy in a case where they cannot confirm the source of death. Nevertheless, it would be something which is prohibited because of nivul hames. If there's no, again, there's no pikuach nefesh involved, it may be important, you know, for the authorities to find out, but there's usually there's no sort of saving a person's life which is involved. And therefore, the correct thing to do is to request an MRI instead of a sort of invasive autopsy. And they're getting better and better at being able to do this, to provide this. And therefore, that is definitely the right thing to do, to request the same thing to be done with an MRI, which does not involve any nivul hames at all. We actually had someone in the community with somebody who, a relative of theirs, passed away. I think it was in Denmark. He phoned me to ask what he should do because they wanted to do an autopsy to determine the cause of death. So thank God we were able to get in touch with there was a Chabad rabbi there who was living in the Shliach. It wasn't even one of the big towns there. There was a Chabad Shliach there, thank God for Chabad, as always, and they were able to arrange an MRI scan instead of a traditional autopsy, thank God. Now, what about, donating organs now, to come back to donating organs. So we've said that according to most poskim, if there was actually pikuach nefesh, according to nearly all the poskim, then it would be mutter. So that we said was the Nodi B'Yehuda, the Chasam Sofer, the Igris Moshe, the Chazanish as well. However, the one posek who would usher it, who would forbid it, even if they were donating the organs to save a Jewish person, was the Binyan Sion. Because as we said, he considers it to be saving someone's life with using another person's money, as it were, or in this case, body. The Minchas Yitzchak, interestingly enough, Yitzchak Tuvia Weiss, in his Tshuvas, says that a mace, that the corpse is potter from the mitzvahs, because he's now dead, and therefore we don't own his body, he's now exempt from the mitzvahs, therefore who are we to sort of now offer his body in order to save someone else's life? As I said again, that's a das yochid, that is a minority opinion. The majority opinion is that it would be permitted to donate organs in order to save a Jewish person. Now where this is very relevant is of course in Eretz Yisrael. So if a person living in Israel is donating an organ, then there's a rove of Jewish people, and therefore it would be permitted to donate organs, knowing, or at least with following the majority, that they would be going to a Jewish person. In a country such as England, when chutz la'aretz, then they would not have a heter of pikuach nefesh, because it's rove goyim, there isn't that majority of yidden, and therefore there would be a very important difference between Israel and England. Now, what about donating organs that do not save a life? Would that be a problem? So presumably in this case, we would have all of the issues. Again, we don't have any pikuach nefesh here. So for example, an eye, that would be an example, or a cornea, part of the eye. Could that be donated? So here you don't have the hatzolas nefoshes. You're not saving a person's life. However, the post can discuss, and they say that maybe there is, in this case, there is no isur hana'ah. There is no prohibition of benefit in this case. Could be that it's not the usual way to benefit from it by donating an eva. And one of the poskim, the Shevet Yehuda, suggests that once you've transplanted it into the person, then it becomes alive again. So you're not actually benefiting. The person's not benefiting from a dead a part of a corpse because it now becomes alive again. But nevertheless, these svaras are definitely this logic can be debated. It's definitely unclear, and therefore the Igros Moshe, most poskim say that this would be osur as well. Or this would be prohibited as well. It's only organs that save a life which would be permitted, as we said, in the case where there's rove yidden, where there's rove Jewish people. The issue of removing a pacemaker and things like that from a mace, removing a pacemaker, doing a biopsy, these types of things. So here the issue is going to be nivul hames, Again, the whole body is going to get buried. There's no chiyuv of kavura on the pacemaker, obviously. You don't have to bury the pacemaker. And there's no prohibition of benefiting from it either. But the prohibition here would be, are you allowed to take it out of the body? There's a problem here of nivel, of disgracing the dead body. So according to the Noda Behuda, as we said, this would be permitted for other people, not for the family members, but it would be permitted for other people to do. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a very interesting svara here. He says that nivul ha-meis, disgracing a body, can only be something you would not do to a live person. Only something you would not do to a live person. That would be a nivul ha-meis. So therefore, in this case, because taking a pacemaker out is something which you would do to a live person, so therefore he says this would be mutter. Similarly, if they wanted to do a biopsy or they wanted to draw blood, as long as you could bury the blood afterwards, so the only issue was nivul ha-meis, that would be permitted according to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's logic, because those are things that you would always do, you would do with a normal, with a live person as well, and therefore it's not nivul ha-meis. The Igros Moshe also agrees with this, and therefore the same logic applies, as we said before, to the MRI or to X-ray, things like that you would do to a live person as well, is not considered to be nivul ha-meis, and therefore these are good solutions for somewhat for doing an autopsy, etc. These sort of things can be done. Someone asked if we're allowed to accept a transplant. For sure. I mean, very often it's going to be life-saving, especially if a person needs to accept a transplant. So definitely, yes, a person can accept a transplant. Another issue that comes up with organ donation is the point of death. Yes, you can accept a transplant from a non-Jew. Yeah, I don't believe there's any issue with that, as far as I know. I don't believe there's any issue with that. Another issue that comes up, which is a major issue and a major point of contention amongst the poskim, is when is the point of death? So this is a huge machlokas, which we're not going to have, we don't have the scope to discuss it now. Good question, Richard. We can't donate to a non-Jew. How can we accept from them? Let's get back to that at the end. I will get back to that. If I don't, then please remind me. So another issue is the point of death. According to most poskim, and this is as stated in the Gemara, the point of death is cardiac death, which means when a person stops breathing, or at least whether it's exactly when a person stops breathing or his heart stops beating, but cardiac death. And at this point, most organs are not useful. In order to donate organs, they have to be caught very, very quickly early on. And usually by the time cardiac death has occurred, most organs are not useful. The other point of death, which is used in many countries nowadays, is brainstem death. So when a person's brain has stopped functioning and the person could be on a machine which is keeping his heart beating and the blood is pumping around the body, and this situation could go on for a long, long time. So that situation, brainstem death, is the case in which normally the organs would still be useful and they would be able to donate the organs. And this is one of the reasons why it's become such a, obviously the advancement of the transplant operations, but in addition, because we have the capabilities to keep a person alive, as it were, their heart pumping blood around the body, even though their brain is dead, so therefore this is why the issue of donating organs has really become something which is much more common nowadays. A lot of poskim say, and the majority of poskim say, that the point of death is cardiac death. That seems to be this pashtus, the simple understanding of the Gemara in Yuma. There is a lot of controversy as to what Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion was, and somewhat of a controversy about what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's opinion was. Before the shiur, I actually had a look at something called the HODS, Halachic Organ Donation Society. They bring various different opinions, and not only various different opinions, but various different opinions on what Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion was regarding this. So it's obviously, it is quite literally a life and death question, because if a person is still alive, if a person was still alive, then they would If a person was still alive, then taking the organs at that point would obviously be a problem of ritzicha, of it would be considered to be murder. So therefore, this is literally a life and death question, and every person needs to ask their own shaila. There are different opinions about this. But obviously, it will make a very big difference in terms of organ donation. Because as I said, most organ donation can only be done if a person accepts brainstem death as being dead. So therefore, if it's cardiac death, then there are some, but there's not many organs that can be donated. So the HODS, as I mentioned before, Halachic Organ Donation Society, they have an option, they have a card where you can choose whether it's cardiac death or it is brainstem death as the point of death. And a person can actually sort of choose beforehand, can put a check mark in the box beforehand. And as we said, that would be permitted. There's rov, if you're doing it in a country where there's rov yidden, where the majority are yidden, then that would be permitted. None of the other issues would apply, and after because it's going to be used for pikuach nefesh, and it's being done after cardiac death, and then a person can ask their own posek to decide if whether brainstem death would be considered death or not. That would obviously make a difference. So just to summarize where we are so far in terms of the halacha. So we've said the different issues. There's an issue, the prohibition of nivul hames, of disgracing the body. There's the prohibition of benefiting from a dead body, from a corpse. And there's a chiyuv of kavura. There's an obligation of burial. We said that the prohibition of nivul hames, of the just, if we could isolate that, so the example of opening a grave, for example, that is permitted in some circumstances, as the Noda Biyuda said, besides for family members doing it, and therefore there are certain circumstances where that would be permitted. And another case in which would be permitted that prohibition is when doing something that you would do to a live person anyway, such as removing a pacemaker, doing a biopsy, those type of things, then there would be no prohibition of nivul hames. When it comes to donating organs, then you've got the prohibition of the nivul firstly, and you've also got prohibitions of benefiting and the kavura and the need to bury. So we said that would only be permitted in a case where there was real hatzalas nefashah, so there was real pikuach nefesh, you were saving another person's life. And as the Noda Biyuda and other poskim said, in a case where it was just being used for research or for a possibility, a long-term possibility, that maybe it would help somebody, that would not be considered to be pikuach nefesh. That would not be considered to be saving a person's life here and now. It's only if there is actually a person's life that needs to be saved. So therefore, that would not permit all of these other prohibitions. So we said, but if, and the last issue as well, is when does one consider the point of death? This is obviously something which has to be decided by a posik, a very, very knowledgeable in this area, halachic decider. Is the point of death cardiac death, in which case it would not be practical, most organs cannot be donated by that time, or is it only brainstem death? And if it's brainstem death, then there would be more organs that could still be donated. So to summarize, we said that it depends, therefore, if the person who's being donated for the person who's being donated to is going to be a Jewish person whose life that you are saving, and the point at which the organs will be removed. I'm going to come back to some of the questions. I will do. I just want to speak about the NHS register briefly. So the NHS register, together with the Board of Deputies, and I believe the United Synagogue, or representatives of the United Synagogue, have developed what they call a personal statement for the Jewish community. You can take a look on their website. And essentially what that says is that they recognize that there are different opinions about the point of death. They recognize that there are various different halachic issues, and therefore what they also say that they recognize that the saving lives is paramount in Judaism, and therefore they say that a person can tick a box where they basically, essentially what it does is a person can sign up to donate their organs, but only in line with a rabbinic opinion on the matter that will be taken at the time of death. So a person can choose to do that if they want to. The truth is, I heard this from Rav Zimmerman, and he said that the problem with this is that, to be honest, according to most of these issues that we've set out, it would be a very rare case in which a person could actually or would be permitted to donate organs. So therefore, does it help by signing this? What exactly is going to be the case in which the person will end up donating their organs, and therefore does it help to sign, to tick the box that they were going to, and then only later on to discover at the point of death that actually most circumstances the rabbi will say that they're not able to. As we said, there are obviously different rabbinic opinions, but a lot of these issur, a lot of these prohibitions are fairly well recognized across the board. In terms of also having, you know, feeling the need to sign up for it, there is a number of different reasons why people don't sign up for it. It's very difficult to claim that it's a chilul Hashem, specifically when, you know, by not signing or by opting out, there's no point at which a person has to say that a person is Jewish. So to say that there's a chilul Hashem is difficult. There are a lot of people who are not signing up for it because of the or who are opting out just because of their own liberty, for example, their own freedom, you know, to do what they want with their body. There are various reasons why they are. So I don't know if it's I don't think it would be something which would create any sort of bad feeling towards the Jewish people. And even if it did, we are discussing Isurim Daraisa. We're discussing Torah prohibitions in many cases. Now, as someone asked, I believe Richen here, I've got on the chat, how is it fair? Basically, the question that's often asked is, how is it fair? So what we're suggesting is that we would be permitted to take an organ from a non-Jewish person, but we wouldn't be prepared to give one to a non-Jewish person. So how is that fair? So look, the answer is, there's no great answer to this. There's no great answer to this when you're sort of having an argument with other people. However, you know, when you look at the general benefit to society, I would venture to say that most Jewish people do give a lot to society. So there's different ways in which people give back to other people, in which people do things to other people. So people can volunteer, people can give charity. You know, there are the amount that is donated by Jewish people to charity during their lifetimes, I believe is extremely high. The amount of volunteering that goes on is extremely high. So therefore, if one wanted to answer that question to someone else, then maybe that would be a kind of a way of addressing it. But I understand it's difficult for people, would be difficult for people to understand. The last question that we got is, what is the position for live organ donation, blood, plasma, kidney, etc.? So I haven't looked into this in detail. I do know, I actually met a friend of mine who had donated a kidney and become involved with an organization. I forgot the name of the person who was running the organization, a rabbi in Israel who was running an organization to actually promote kidney donation amongst religious people, because it is not something that a person is obligated to do. We can't say that a person is obligated to do it, but nevertheless, it is a very, very big mitzvah to do so, to donate a kidney or any of these live organs. Again, obviously, we're not talking about where a person is going to put his own life in danger, but something like a kidney, which nowadays is relatively safe. Obviously, every operation has a small amount of danger. I believe, according to most poskim, is a mitzvah, but it cannot be described as a chiyuv, as an obligation to do so. And like I said, I forgot the name of the organization now, but there's an organization in Israel that promotes this. They run weekends for people who have donated kidneys to sort of everyone, you know, for them to get together. There's a whole camaraderie, and it's a big mitzvah, a really, really, really big mitzvah for people to do. So therefore, yes, that's definitely something that is a possibility and should be encouraged. Are there any other questions? No? Okay, so just to sum up in terms of the organ donation dilemma, I would say that what we see from this is that what's paramount in Judaism, firstly, is going to be pekuach nefesh. Firstly, it's going to be saving a life, but also the concept of kavod ames is something which is extremely, extremely important to us. So that's expressed here in terms of nivul ames, in terms of disgracing the dead body. It's also expressed in terms of the chiyuv, the mitzvah of kavura, of burying a person straight away. And there's a number of reasons which are given as to why that is so important, why it is that we place such value on that. I mean, after a person's dead, a person's dead. You know, why is it something which has such weight? No less than two different Torah prohibitions involved in making sure that a person has a proper burial, a proper Jewish burial. So one of the ideas behind it is that in Judaism is no such thing as the body being just purely physical. The body is actually something which is given to us on this world in order to elevate, And not only that, when after Moshiach comes and there's Tichias HaMesim, there's the resurrection of the dead, then our soul will be reunited with our body. Then the Neshama, which goes up to Shemaim, is going to come back and it's going to be reunited together with the body. So therefore, a person has to realize that the body is not just this physical, kind of addition which happens to be stuck with, is neshama is stuck with. On the contrary, we don't separate the spiritual and the physical, but rather the spiritual uplifts the physical, it uplifts that person's body, and therefore, just like during one's lifetime, a person has to respect this body, there's a mitzvah, pikuach nefesh, there's a mitzvah to make sure, v'chai b'hem, that we do everything that we can in order to sustain life while one is alive. So therefore, the extension to that is that the body, we have to give it the proper respect when it's buried, and we have to make sure that that body is going to be there and it's going to be intact, and therefore we can be able to come back to it at the time of Tichias HaMesim. Hashem should bless everyone. Let me just see. I was going to say, wish everyone a very long life after this shiur. Just one more question. Sure, it was not until recent times that we understood brainstem death. Is that not the only reason cardiac death is the default halachic definition of death? So good point, Alex, but no, it's not just because that. It is true, it was only recent times we understood brainstem death, but nevertheless, like lots of modern innovations, you know, when it comes to cooking on Shabbos, I can guarantee you that nobody in the Midbar knew about microwaves. Nevertheless, the poskim, using the principles which are given to us in the Gemara and the poskim, they discuss whether there is a prohibition of cooking in a microwave, if it's an Issa D'oraisa, Torah prohibition, a rabbinic definition, or a rabbinic prohibition. So therefore, the discussion about the point of death as well is definitely sourced in the poskim. And like I said, that's why, and it comes out that there are two different opinions about that. How can a soul be reunited with a body that might be in any peculiar state? Okay, so good question. So I've got a question here about Tichias HaMesim and exactly how it works. We're not going to go into this at depth, but suffice to say that the point of Tichias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, is a point called Olam Haba. So just to briefly, people often get confused about this, and people think that as soon as Moshiach comes, then there's Tichias HaMesim, then there's a resurrection that happens. But that is not how it works. There is firstly a period of time called Yemos HaMoshiach, which is called the Days of Moshiach. And that's what the Rambam says, although we don't understand everything about it. The Rambam says, "Ein bein olam hazeli mosa mashiach and a shibud malchias bilvav." The only difference is going to be in the way that the world is run. That's Garzeid and Keves, the prophet Yeshaya, the prophecy of Yeshaya that there'll be peace around the world, which is actually inscribed at the United Nations building. If anyone has ever seen, there's a sort of a statue outside the UN building with that inscribed on it. So that's sort of the Yemos HaMoshiach, but the world is very much still living in a level of this world. And then following that, subsequently, there's a long period of Yemos HaMoshiach, and then after that, the world goes into a state called Olam Haba, which is a much more spiritual state, much similar to the Garden of Eden, the Gan Eden state of Adam and Chava, and Garden Eden. So therefore, when we talk about the soul being reunited with the body, it is reunited with the body, but it's definitely a more spiritually refined existence. The body is a more spiritually refined existence, but nevertheless, it is reunited with the body, which is one of the reasons given why we have to make sure to take care of the kavura of the burial and the kavod hames. Please God, we should all be zocha, we should all merit to a long and healthy life until 120 years. Please God. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Please God.
Thank you.